In Ephesians chapter number 4, I'll give you an outline today. I'll not be able to preach all this, but we'll preach and get us a stop in place. You know, preachers will tell you they're going to quit at a certain time. They'll tell you one more verse, and then they'll take another hour and a half on that verse and never end up with it. But I'm going to make you a promise this morning, and I'm going to keep it. I'm going to quit when I get through. How's that? Amen. All right, now I don't know what that is, but we'll try our best to get out of here. But in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I do appreciate you. I appreciate this church. I appreciate you folks listening. Amen. I heard myself preaching the other day, and I thought, Lord have mercy. Whew! No wonder they lay out on me. All right. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4. Stand when you find your place, and let's read the first three verses of the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. The Bible said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You can be seated, and we'll pray. Father, give us wisdom this morning. Lord, I pray the presence of God might be with us. Lord, stir our souls and our minds. God, that we might today receive something from the throne of heaven. Lord, may heaven look down on us. We already felt the presence of God in the choir. The songs have blessed us. Lord, the specials, we thank you, Lord, for all the specials today. They've been special to my heart, and I thank you for it today. And then I pray, God, now you give us something from heaven. Feed our soul. We're hungry. Lord, you've already given us the appetizer. Now give us the meal. We'll give you the praise and the glory. God, we'll thank you for what you're going to do. And if there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray you'd save them for Christ's sake. If there's one out of the will of God that you'll touch them, Lord, visit us from heaven today. God, help us to get out of the way that we might be able to see you. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now let's just do something. Everybody shut your mouth and breathe through your nose about three times. Let's do it. You know what that's called? Breathing. The Bible said in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now you ought to do it. Now let's do something else. Breathe through your nose. And while you're breathing through your nose, I want you to say amen. What happened to you? You can't speak when you're breathing through your nose. So, guess what? I tell my wife that all the time. She talks and talks and talks. And I say, honey, breathe through your nose. Amen. But you know what? I want you to breathe through your mouth this morning. When you breathe through your mouth, say amen. Amen. Now say, praise God. Praise God. Now, I want you to breathe through your mouth the rest of the time while I'm preaching for two reasons. Number one, I can get some good amens out of you. And number two, I can tell if you're snoring. Amen. Now, I want to say this, and I thank God for the goodness. Now, I've got these preachers over here, and it tickles me to get to tell them a little bit of things, and maybe they'll take what we've said and they can take what we've preached on and the little outlines and 10 years from now, 5 years from now, somewhere. We'll not always be where we are. We'll change. Some of us are going to pass off the scene and get to the other side. Amen. Some of us sooner than later. Amen. And the work of God goes on, and I pray that they'll be able to take something that's been said and modify it, change it, as the Spirit gives them the utterance on it, and they may preach it somewhere. I'm just giving you some word base. Amen. Every sermon has to have an introduction. That's what this is. Fellas, put that in your notes. Every sermon got to have an introduction. I believe everybody needs to Here's you some H's to put in your outlines. I believe every person needs to hear the Word of God. After they hear the Word of God, they need to heed the Word of God and come to Christ. After they heed the Word of God, they need to hide the Word of God in their heart. And then they need to hold to the Word of God every day of their life. And then they need to get out and herald the Word of God or tell it forth. Now, I'll preach, fellas. Amen. Just build you an outline on that. Amen. Ask God to help you. You said you can't do it. No, no. I ain't got one gear. I can't flip a switch up here and get in preaching mode. Amen. Have to let the Holy Spirit do it. Amen. He's got to do it. But I want to tell you, I want to get excited. Some folks ain't excited about nothing. I get excited about my salvation. Amen. Got saved as a young boy, and then God called me to preach, and I got married. We got to, I got married and then got to preaching. And what happened, I go to meeting every night, every day, go to hear preaching. I wanted to hear preaching. I just went, and I still want to hear preaching. And I love to hear preaching. Matter of fact, you'll be better off if you hear preaching all day long. You've been listening to a bunch of junk all day. Your mind gets so clouded. Stay on the preaching the Word of God. Get you somewhere, tune it in, and listen to it. Amen. We got so many modern methods, MP3 players and all that stuff. Amen. If this crowd can run down the street with earplugs in, listen to the world's jazz, I want you to know you can plug your ears in to heaven. Amen. You ought to make a use of that. You've got all kinds of methods and means of doing it. But amen, I come home, see mom and dad, and mama told me, and that's broke my heart. She said, you know, you're going to go crazy over preaching. You're going to go crazy over it. I've been crazy about it. I don't know about over it. Amen. But I'm glad, thank God, for the Word of God. And I just thinking about a young fellow. They said one time he got so excited about the Lord. The Lord got a hold of him. He is always telling things about them. They thought he's crazy. They thought he's crazy. So we'll send him to a psychiatrist. And they sent him down to the psychiatrist. The psychiatrist got him in there and he said, what's your name? He said, which one? Got two. Got one down here on earth. And my name down here on earth is Sam. Amen. He said, all right, Sam. He said, but I've got another name. I really can't tell you what it is. He said, I had a new one over in glory. Amen. Well, he said, Sam, he said, what's your father? What's your father's name? He said, which one? I got two. Amen. My father's name is Tom. But said, my heavenly father's name is Jehovah. Say amen. Said, he saved me by his grace. And so the psychiatrist, he is scratching his head. He said, well, tell me, Sam, where your home is. He said, which one? I got two. I got one down here, and I got one I'm going to. And said, before he got out of the psychiatrist's office, said the psychiatrist was trying to set him an appointment up to see a psychiatrist. Amen. So I like to get excited about the things of God, don't you? I like to get excited about the things of God. We're looking at the epistle of Ephesians this morning. Every one of Paul's epistles had two things. Jot this down in your notes. Two things. Every one of Paul's epistles, matter of fact, all the epistles, they run this little line that God puts in them. Number one, God deals in the epistles to establish doctrine. Amen. Number one, every one of them will give you doctrine. Doctrine's what you believe. Doctrine is what you stand for. Doctrine is, and if your doctrine is not biblical, brother, you ain't got nothing to stand on. But we know that he talks about doctrine in all the epistles. Secondly, he talks about deportment. Now, deportment is your behavior. How you act, how you meet people, how you act in the world, how you live. That's actually what it is. And we're going to do that this morning. We're going to look at the deportment that we can find in Ephesians by one word. We're going to take the book of Ephesians, and I'll not finish this morning. There are 7 points, but don't get disturbed. I'm not going to preach all 7. Amen. It might be 7 tonight before we get out of here, if that's the case. But I'll give you the outline, and we'll go home. I'll give you a few things about it. There are 7 instances in the Word of God we're going to talk about in the book of Ephesians about the word walk, W-A-L-K. And we're going to talk about the word walk in the book of Ephesians. Now, that walk he's talking about, it's not this kind of walk, picking up one foot and setting it down, picking up another foot and putting it forward and setting down. That's what we call walk, physical walk. But that is not what we're going to deal with this morning. The walk we're going to deal with is going to be our deportment, our behavior, our manners, our mannerisms. the way that we do things. Amen. The way that we look at things and our habits and so forth. Now, I believe when we look at this word walk this morning, we need to look and see how we walk socially. We need to look and see how we walk morally. We need to look at how we walk, in all the manners of spiritually, ethnically, every which way we walk. We ought to take a note of what the Bible says, how we should walk. Now, we're going to talk about how a child of God should walk. Amen. You said, "Oh, preacher, I don't care too much about that." You might not, but we're going to talk about it. Amen. I didn't ask you if you needed amen or not. We're going to talk about it. Now, to look at the first one, we want to go to chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. Now, we started with chapter 4. We'll come back to chapter 4 in a minute. But I want us to back up and get the first walk that we find in the book of Ephesians. Fellas, here's your outline. Take it. Number 1, in Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to read them 3 verses. The Bible said, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, he's going to tell us this morning this about the walk. Label this in point number 1 as the past walk of the believer. He's going to talk about the past walk of the believer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. You don't need to be looking back to the past. I hear so many people talk about when I was an old drunk, they'd tell how much liquor they drank. You don't need to do that. They tell how bad a sinner they were. Listen, that's behind the back of God. That's under the blood. Don't brag about your past sins. If you start bragging about that, I'm going to get the idea that that's where you want to be. I don't brag about my past sins. I despise them. I'm glad they're under the blood. Amen. And if you're going to look back at that, you look back just quick enough to get a little glance and say, "Thank God, I'm not there anymore. I've been redeemed." And don't brag about it. Just brag about Jesus getting you out of that mess. Amen. Now, that's where we need to be this morning. Now, I thank God for that. Well, it's good to look back every once in a while to some things, but the right kind of things. Now, suppose this morning I got in my automobile and I was going to head to Clarksville and I pulled up here to the sign and I look and I turn right and I go down the road and I look up in the rear view mirror. I look to the right mirror. I look to the left mirror. I look at the rear view. I look at the right. I look to the left. I look to the right. I look to the left. I look to the rear view. Hey, guess what's going to happen? Amen. Now, my car's in drive. I'm going to be over here on the bluff. Amen. You can't drive your mirrors, the rear view mirrors, looking back. The only way you need them, the only time you need them mirrors is to see if an enemy's behind you. Amen. To see if somebody's catching you. And to see, amen, I'm talking about, and to see how to go if you're backing up. Now, a child of God shouldn't back up. You ain't in reverse. You're in forward. So, those mirrors are just to help you from time to time. So, you're not looking back. You're looking forward. Amen. You said, "Where do you get that?" From the Bible. Next book over. Philippians. Now move over and you look at this verse. Mark this in your Bible. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Somebody said, "Am I going to have to look in my Bible?" Well, what did we come here to study? The Sears and Roebuck catalog? Amen. We come to look at the Bible. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are" what? "Behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are" before. That's in forward. And he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now we're looking at the past walk of the believer in the first 3 verses of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. Now take your pencil and your paper or take your Bible and let's mark 3 words in these 3 verses I want to point out. First of all, in verse number 1, the Bible said, "And you hath He quickened who were," what's the next word? "Dead." Dead in trespass and sin. Are you breathing through your mouth? Dead. Dead. Dead in trespass. Mark that word, dead. Then we go to verse number 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Mark that word, disobedience. Mark that word, disobedience. And then we go to verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh fulfilling thee. Notice that word, desires. Now these preachers like to start off in their outlines with the same letter of the word. Well, I give you an alliterated sermon here in chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The first one is dead, and the second one is disobedience, and the third one is desires. Now, look at these things. The Bible said we were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. Now, we look at those three words. Now, dead, what's that mean? It means not to have life. Dead means that the spirit's done moved out of the body, and the body is limp, and it cannot... You know what? Dead men can't talk, and dead men can't walk. I know we're living in a day when they talk about zombies, and when they talk about the living dead. Amen. Yeah, I don't worry about too much, but I talk about these dead men, amen, and that are lost on their way to hell. But I don't get too concerned. Somebody said, the cemetery's full of dead men. That's right, they are. But I preached a lot of zombies, but they didn't come out of the cemetery. Yeah. Amen. They come out of homes. And I preach to some of you dead zombies all the time. And I'm trying to get you alive. I'm trying to resurrect you. I'm trying to give you the gospel that Christ can reach down and save you and pick you up and make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You see, you are dead. He's talking to the saints. He's not talking to the believers. Now, I don't believe we got all believers in this building. I believe there's some people in here this law. Why, preacher, you can't judge me. No, I can't. I don't know where you're going to hell, or you're going to hell, or you're going to hell, or you're going to hell. But I believe there's some in this building that's going to hell. And I'm going to try to turn you around. I'm going to preach every sermon just like you're going to hell, amen. And I want to try to warn you to flee from the wrath to come. Jesus is coming. Death's going to find you. I want you to make sure that your peace call and election is made, amen. And that you're going to face God in His eternal presence, saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That's the message I preach. Amen. I believe we need to preach that. Now, looking at this. Dead. We'll find that. We'll find it here. They were dead. Now, you know what? You can't get dead people to like the church. Dead people don't love the church. That's what's happening in our country. We're trying to get people to come to church that are dead. Dead people don't go. Amen. They don't. You know what they do? They went over there, angels that were over there. And they come looking, said, where are you looking? Said, we're looking for Christ. He said, why seek you the living among the dead? He's not here. Amen. So what they're trying to do, they're staying out in the world. They won't come to the house of God where Jesus is because they're dead. They want to stay in the cemetery of the world. But I believe you know what I'm talking about this morning. That's why you can't get the churches filled up. That's why you can't get people. That's why you got to entertain them. That's why you got to give them a lollipop and a hot dog and a hamburger. That's why you got to give them some kind of little something going every time. You got to pat them on the back. Amen. I guarantee you if I stood back there and give out suckers to all the kids and patted all you ladies on the back, amen, kissed you on the cheek and hugged every one of you men's neck, I wouldn't have to worry about the men, just the ladies. Amen. That'll make them come back to the house of God if I done all that. But listen, that's not in me. I believe today that we need to preach the gospel and let the gospel be the drawing card to bring people to the house of God. Brother, I want you to... You said, well, dead people. You got to get dead people in. That's right. But I want to tell you something. When they get here, and when they are dead, we need to give them something that's alive. Now, you ain't breathing much out of your mouth. Amen. 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 Yeah, now it's catching on. What happened? You went to sleep on me. Listen to me. I'm telling you this morning that the grace of God's real. I believe that God is the only one that can save you. I believe God's the only one that can change you. God's the only one that can make you want to go to the house of God. When people get right with God, they come to church. That's just one trait. That's one characteristic of it. I've been saved a long time, and I've been wanting to go to church. Now, there's a few times I tried to make an excuse. Sometimes I made an excuse. Sometimes I wanted to go, and sometimes I didn't want to go. But every time I didn't want to go, I was not right with God. I don't care who you are. You can't slice it no other way. When you get right with God, you love to go to the house of God. Amen. That's mighty weak, but that's true. Then I believe when you get right with God, you want to love the Bible and read it. I believe you desire the Bible. There have been times I didn't care too much about the Bible, laid it to the side. Been saved, yes, amen. And there's times I didn't want to study it. You know why I didn't want to study it? Because it got the gouging on me. Amen. I don't like to sit on thorns. When I find me a seat somewhere, I don't find the roughest place to sit. I've made it easy on my life, amen, this far in life, and I don't think about changing it. Amen. I'd rather, if I had a chair here with a cushion in it and a chair that was splintering just wood, guess which one I'm going to sit in? I'm going to sit in the one that's the most comfortable. So I want to tell you, when I find the Word of God, brother, it's like thorns to my soul sometimes when I read the Word of God, and brother, it begins to, it's not feathers in my nest, brother, it's thorns in my nest, and the Word of God begins to prick me, and that's why I don't want to pick it up sometimes. But listen, we got to read and study the Word of God, and God will put a desire down in your heart to love the Word of God that you'll study it. Amen. I believe a child of God that gets right with God, but all of that, I believe that they will pray. I believe they'll seek the face of God. I believe they'll come before the Lord and look for some things from God. Don't you? Now, we're talking about the past walk of the believer. There was a time when I did not care. There's a time I did not want God in the Bible. Now, verse number 2. He said, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. What did I walk after? I walked after the world. I let the world set my standards. That's what I did when I was lost in sin. You who are letting the world set your standards, it's because you're lost or you're backslid on God, one of the two. This world should not be able to set the standards for your life. You should not allow the world to have any part of you. You should say no to the world. I'm going to follow the Bible. I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to follow the world. Amen. And then he said, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there. You not only followed the world, but you followed the devil. Amen. The devil used to be my father, but thank God, amen, we got away. I didn't even shake hands on good terms. Some of you have been trying to shake hands on good terms with the devil. You can't do it. Brother, I want to tell you right now, he's been an enemy to me from day one. He's an enemy today. He'll be an enemy tomorrow. And thank God, I'm glad one of these days that God's going to pick him up and cast him out and throw him in to the bottomless pit and then take him out, put him into the lake of fire. I want you to know, thank God, what a day it's going to be when God's going to get rid of the biggest enemy I've ever had, the devil. Amen. And then the Bible says this. He said, the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That was in me too. Now verse number 3. He said, among whom also. Now you see, I was obedient. I was obedient to the devil. Amen. But God wants us to be disobedient to Him. Amen. But what's happened? There was a time when I was disobedient to God and obedient to Satan. But thank God that has changed. I'm talking about the past walk of the believer. I was dead in trespass and sin, and I was obedient to the devil and disobedient to God. And then in verse number 3, he said we had the desires of the flesh. So we see in the enemies, we see the world, we see the devil, and we see the flesh. And I still contend with all three of those, but thank God, God can give the upper hand over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. Well, we could stay all day on that. That's point number 1. You said, I'm glad you're not going to preach all 7. Amen. Me too. I couldn't handle it. Not physically. All right, number 2. The second walk I want to look at is found in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. The first walk is the past walk of the believer. In verse number 8, 9, and 10, the Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he said, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Now notice this phrase, that we should what? Walk in them. Now, we found that these first 3 verses are the past walk of the believer. Let's turn that around now and say this is the present walk of the believer. What's the present walk of the believer? We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Amen. What kind of works? What kind of works? Say it louder. Good works. Amen. Now the Bible said in the book of Matthew, He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your God works, and then the Bible talks about they'll go and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We need to let the world know we got some good work. Now, I'm not working to get saved this morning. I'm not even working to get saved, but because I am saved, I'm trying to do a few little works for God. Amen. How did I get there? By repenting from my sin and calling upon the name of the Lord. But it said, you just call on the Lord and you got to do more. You got to repent. I believe in still believe. I'm an old fashioned. I believe in repentance. I believe we need to repent. Now, I thought about something I read some time ago. The fellow preacher come up to a little Catholic priest and he looked at the priest and he said to the priest, he said, what happens when the people sin in your denomination? Who do they go to? Oh, he said, well, that's easy. He said, they go to the priest and confess their sin. Well, he said, now, what happens to the priest when he sins? He said, well, that's easy. Said, the priest, he has to go confess to the bishop. Said, now, when the bishop sins, where does the bishop go? He said, oh, that's easy. Said, the bishop goes to the cardinal. Amen. You ever tried to confess to a bird? To the cardinal. And he said, well, now, when the cardinal sins, where's he go? He said, he goes to the pope. He said, well, let me ask you this. Where does a pope go when he's got to confess his sin? He said, well, he goes to God. And the preacher said, well, let me tell you something. He said, I miss the priest and the bishop and the cardinal, and I go the same place the pope does. I go to God because I've got a middle wall, a partition been removed, and I can come humbly and boldly to the throne of grace. And he said, what do you think about that? And the priest said, you know, I never give much thought to that. Said, I've been taught to go down through the channels. Now, that's what people have been taught. Let me tell you something this morning. Thank God if you've got sin in your life, you can get rid of it today at the throne of God. You don't have to confess it to me. You don't have to confess it to this church. You don't have to confess it to this community. You don't have to confess it to the governor. You don't have to confess it to the pope. But you got to confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So what's the present walk of the believer? It's to work. Now, we're not working this morning to try to obtain anything. But the Bible teaches us that if we're hearers only and not doers, hey, there's something wrong with it. But we're not only just to be hearers, but we're to be doers as well. Amen. And I can preach on that for a while. But let's get the third one. Now, the first one is the past walk of the believer. The second one is the present walk of the believer. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read our text again. Time just about got me anyhow. And so we'll quit here in a minute, but we'll get an unhitching place. I'm just getting started. And y'all are just about ready to snore, because I know you ain't saying amen much. Amen. You're about rocked to sleep again. Ephesians chapter number 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. There's one word in that first verse that if you change one letter in it, it changes the entire meaning. We'll pick it out in a minute. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now we find that the past walk of the believer in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through and 3, 1, 2 and 3. And we find the present walk of the believer in Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and 10. Now we find the next one, we'll call it the practical walk of the believer. It's just practically walking, his practical walk. The practical walk of the believer is found in chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. What is that practical walk? To walk what? Worthy of the vocation. I said there's one letter you could change. If you look at this morning, that word vocation. You know what vocation is? Vocation is your calling. Vocation is your job. Vocation is your profession in the work of God, that is. Now, if you change that word V-O to V-A, that's where most people think they are. From vocation to vacation. Amen. We need to not think about a vacation. We need to be thinking about the vocation that we have. God's given us a job to do. And that is to walk worthy. Amen. Walk worthy. Now, we're not to walk worthy of what somebody else says. But we're to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we've been called. Now, listen, people. God said that we've been called. Everybody said, I'm not being called. Oh yeah, if you've been saved this morning, you've been called. That was a time that God rung your number. That was a time that God spoke to your heart. That was a call went out to you one day, and God said, come unto me, all you laboring, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You had a gospel call, or you're not saved. You might have had a gospel call and not get saved. You might not have answered the call. But if you answered that call, brother, you have had a call from God. Now, I like that word call. Now, I've been called to preach. Everybody in this building has been called to preach. But some of you have been called to salvation. And the others, amen, you've probably been called and hadn't answered. But everybody that's saved this morning has had that call. You can go back to that time when God saved your soul. Now, I like that word calling. Here, fellas, put this in your notes over there. This will help you down the road preaching. I'll give you a four-point outline right here. Give you a four-point outline. I'm not going to say anything about it. But if you look at it, first of all, let's look at that word calling. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. We'll look at this calling. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Write it in your notes. His calling. Amen. I've had His calling. I've had His calling. I've had two calls of God in particular. I've had more than that, but I'll talk about two. He called me to salvation, called me to service in the ministry, and one of these days, I ain't had this lesson now, but one of these days I'll get me a calling to come up hither. Amen. Be by the way of the grave or through the air, but I've got a calling coming. I'm leaving one day. Amen. That excites me. Said, preacher, I ain't too excited about it. Get right with God. Amen. Get on heaven's side and you'll want to be pulled to heaven. And the reason you're not wanting to go today is because you're on earth's side. And you're on hell's side. And you don't want to be going to heaven because you'll be a misfit. If some of you went to heaven this morning just like you are, you'd be a misfit, you wouldn't enjoy it, and you'd tear it all to pieces. But when you get saved, amen, God puts something in your heart that'll make you fit. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, that's kind of rough. That's tough. Amen, that ain't tough enough. Amen. You don't hear rough preaching anymore. We don't hear rough preaching. We pat folks on the back, try to tiptoe through the tulips and squirt rose water. Amen. Preachers are scared they're going to upset their congregation and lose a dollar. Amen. Amen. They might not put a set of tires on their car when the tires get slick. Amen. Might not get them a glass of water when they need one. So they kind of tiptoe around. Compromise. Amen. That's right. Some of you ain't breathing through your mouth. Breathing through your nose. And you can't say a word. So we see this is a practical walk. Now, we see His calling. Go over to Philippians, the next book over from Ephesians. Amen. I like it when I can just preach and know I'm just going to unhitch and not have to try to get done. Amen. I'll leave these other boys to preaching the rest of them points one of these days. Amen. But in Philippians, chapter number 3 and verse number 14. Chapter number 3, verse 14. Paul said, and we read it a while ago, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. What kind of calling? High calling. We done talked about His calling. Now we talked about the high calling. The high calling of God, brothers, higher than being in the presidency. Being a governor, being a leader of the land. Thank God, brother, we are public servants. Amen. But we are of the King. My business is the King's business. And brother, I am serving the King, not just the King of any land, but the King of Kings up in glory. Thank God, I've got a high calling. And then we'll see not only His calling and a high calling, but in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we'll get to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with, and what kind of calling? Holy calling. Thank God this is a holy calling. It's His calling, it's a high calling, and it's a holy calling. Thank God. Amen. We've all had them holy callings of salvation. Brother, God's given us, but some of us have the holy calling of preaching the Word of God. Then the last one. There's another calling, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me turn over there. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible said, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the... Yeah. Heavenly calling. Amen. Hey, we've had His calling. We've had a high calling. We've got a holy calling. And we've got a heavenly calling. Thank God. That ought to make a Methodist shout right there. Amen. I'm telling you. Praise God for His goodness and His mercy for watching over us. I'll give you these others and we'll go home. We've talked about the past walk of the believer. Found in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. The present walk of the believer in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, 9, and 10. And we talked about the practical walk of the believer in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 1 through 3. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4 verses 17 through 19. Jot these down. We're not going to preach on them. I may say a little, but not much. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 through 19. This will be the personal walk of the believer. His personal walk. Here's three ways he's not to walk. Look in those verses, verse 17, 18, and 19. He's not to walk conceited with pride. We're not to walk a conceited life. Some folks are so conceited, they are glued on themselves. They're stuck on themselves. Amen. And nothing can work unless they're like they've got to be lit. They're the only one. They're the only one. Nobody can do anything but them. They're so conceited. Pride. Then in verse number 18, they're not to be confused. You find them confused. We've got a lot of people that's confused. But the personal walk of the believer is to be not conceited, not confused. In verse 19, not to be callous. And we're not to walk like the other Gentiles walk, but we're to walk this way. Amen. Praise God. You better hang on to what you've got with a loose hand. You don't own a thing. You look at this. This is my car. This is my truck. This is my house. This is my suit. This is my computer. This is my Bible. You don't have a thing. God just made you a custodian with the things. Hang on to it with a loose hand. You're not going to take it with you. Matter of fact, they do not tie a U-Haul behind the hearse when they take you to the cemetery. Amen. You can't take it with you. Amen. You like that little easy chair? Feels good to you. But it's tomorrow. Somebody else could be sitting in it. Amen. Somebody else could be sitting in your chair tomorrow. You hear me? All right. Then we'll call that the personal walk of the believer. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Jot these scriptures down. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He said the walk is Christ. That means we're to walk Christ-likeness. Or have a Christ-likeness walk. We'll call that the pattern of our walk. Of the believer, the pattern walk of the believer. What kind of pattern are we to have? The pattern of Jesus. Jesus is our pattern. He's the pattern walk of the believer. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, really talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You can tie in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit. Didn't say fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. Brother, we'll call that the productive walk of the believer. I believe every believer is going to have some produce. Amen. We're all produce markets for God. Amen. Some folks won't come to there because our fruit's swiveled. Uh-oh. Breathing through your nose. Didn't get an amen on that. Some of our fruit has withered. Hear me? And then one more. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. You find what the believer did. He said, redeem the time above that. And he said, walk circumspectly. That is cautiously, carefully. Brother, that's the powerful walk of the believer. You begin to see what's going on down below there. And you get on down. He said to be drunk, not on wine, but where's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Then he goes around speaking themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in his heart unto the Lord. Glory to God. I want you to know that is the powerful walk of the believer. When people look at us and see Christ in us, they want Christ. Amen. That's a 7-point outline. You make that a series if you want to. Amen. Are you ready to meet God? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Has the blood washed away your sin? Is your name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life? When you draw your last breath here, will you draw your first one in glory? Or will you be like the rich man, draw your last breath here and in hell lift your eyes? I'm saying to you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know without a doubt that it's a fact in your soul. You've got established in your heart, and you're anchored with a steadfast hope of the anchor. You said, preacher, I got an anchor, got her in my chest. I got a hold of, hey, my anchor. I'm not holding my anchor. My anchor's holding me. Amen. Some of you done got an anchor. Yeah, you're holding on to it. Amen. I'm holding on to God. I'm not holding on to God. He's holding on to me. I'd have given up and quit a long time ago. I tried a time or two. You tried a time or two. But thank God He's held on to me. I'm His and He's mine. Brother, I'm headed to glory. Nothing can stop me. The devil, the world, the flesh is against me. They're my enemies. But I'm glad, thank God, when it's all said and done, I've looked in the last book of the Bible. Brother, I found out we're going to be established in glory. We're going to be with Him forever. Thanks be unto God. Brother, I want you to know I'm saved and the sign, and one day I'm going to be delivered to a place called glory. I tell you right now, thank God, I know without a doubt that I'm saved by God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Are you ready? Let's get an invitation. Are you ready? Praise God. God spread the table. Thank God for the table. Been spread. Praise be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Amen. Have no doubt in my soul. I'm glad I'm ready to meet Him. All right? What's up? 321 in the Blue Book. 321 in the Blue Book. How about it? How about it? Do you know Him? Does He know you? Are you on the Lord's side? Is He on your side? How about it?